This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. All right, hello everybody. This is Hal.
And this is Melanie.
And we want to welcome you to another episode of Making Biblical Family Life Practical.
I guess we should apologize first for not having an episode last week.
No, we had an interesting period. I mean, we were on a speaking trip up to Northern Ohio, and while we were gone, Hurricane Matthew blew ashore.
So we had, what was it, 5 speaking events in 7 days, Hal?
It was, yes. That's a lot of load in, load out type of thing.
It was pretty overwhelming.
It was very good. It was very productive.
Oh, it was a blessing. It was a spiritual blessing.
Yep.
Like, you know, I couldn't believe the number of just divine appointments that we had with people who just needed to talk, and yeah, God put us in the right place at the right time.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it was good. We felt like we're doing what we need to be doing. We're really helping these people out. And so we were really blessed by that. But while we were gone, Hurricane Matthew came, well, actually didn't come on shore, but right off the coast.
Dumped all its water on us.
Well, it's almost worse. We've seen this sometimes before when hurricanes get off the coast and they just sit just off the beach. And it's like they're big pumps. They're just pulling water, I mean, up out of the ocean and out of the atmosphere and throwing it back over its shoulder into the inland areas. And our town got flooded.
It was pretty shocking. We had a flash flood and then the river rose flood. We had both kinds of flood.
Yeah.
And one of them, I guess we can't be positive which, but probably the flash flood, went right through our garage where we had been storing so much stuff.
I am convinced it was the rainwater, the flash flood, because it drained off really quickly. And also, the areas of town that were unmistakably river flood, you can tell where the river was because of the mud it left behind. I mean, there's mud in the trees down by the hospital. It's just...
Yeah, we didn't really have that.
No, it got 14...
But we got plenty of water, Hal.
Well, we did. We got like 6 inches of water through our garage, and that's...
Yeah, and our garage, unfortunately, is not a house for cars. It's a house for all of our adult kids'
household
stuff
goods.
As they travel back and forth and move from apartment to apartment and house to house.
Yeah, so we've been clearing out stuff this week, and we had some other things.
How have we taken 4 or 5 loads
to
the dump?
4 trailer loads to the dump.
Yowch.
And 1 trailer load to an adult son's house for some furniture of his that was stored there, and we managed to recover that.
And there's still more left to do.
And there's more. But anyway.
At any rate, so we didn't get a podcast done last week, and I'm so sorry. I always feel bad when we do that. I hate disappointing people.
Yeah. But here we are, and we're going to pick it back up as if nothing happened.
Okay.
And so we do want to welcome you, and today we're going to talk about the fine art of juggling schedules.
It's not easy.
No, when I was working a traditional engineering job, I had a Franklin planner. If you've never seen one of these, it's a binder. It's got all the pre-printed calendar pages and stuff. And really, it's a good tool for planning your day-to-day activities if you've got a desk job.
Well, and my stuff with the children was entirely separate.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we would do school in the mornings, and then in the afternoon we might have, you know, a homeschool event that we did, or a club we went to, or swim lessons, or a doctor's visit. But it was fairly normal when the kids were young. It was still pretty doable. Just I would make notes on my weekly planning sheet.
Well, when everybody
what
was,
we had to do
when everybody was 8 and under, it really was a matter of where is the whole family going?
Right.
Where is the van going to be this hour? And so you pretty much your daily schedule was the kids' daily schedule, and my schedule was basically when did Dad leave the house? When's Dad coming home? And that
right.
was really, you know, my day-to-day planning was all stuff that was happening at the plant or at the mill or wherever I was at that point. And so we didn't have to coordinate too much beyond just the overall schedule. But, I mean, just the overall calendar. But then, so really most of our coordination really was just on a calendar level. It wasn't something that we had to, you know, had to really put our heads to very often. But
then, you know, as everybody got older, kids started being involved in some individual activities.
They had some of their own schedule that came up.
Yeah, there were kids involved in individual activities. We In fact, as kids got older still, we had kids driving. And sometimes one would need to go one direction, one another direction.
And we had people in conflicting sports programs or in different after-school classes or testing dates or things. And so there were there were more moving parts as our kids got older. And so...
Part of what we've got to figure out when it comes to our schedule juggling is how do we inform everybody? We need to talk about that. How do we keep everybody knowing what's going on? But part of it, too, is knowing what balance of stuff when you need to let things go. And, you know, I just want to say that's going to differ for every family and every season of life.
You know, I do remember one time when our kids were pretty young, we had one season where it was so crowded, we actually sat down and planned just the evening times in great detail. You remember that when we were still in Louisiana and our oldest was just, you know, was just starting homeschooling, but he was playing in a soccer league and he was taking violin lessons. And I remember that on those days, we sat down and looked at the schedule and realized
we had to script things.
There was no time to eat dinner. Yeah. There was no time for supper on those days. We had, you know, dad comes home from work and then we take the boy to soccer, and then we have like a 20-minute or half-hour break before violin lessons. And so we realized that, you know, for this season, for this period of time, we were going to have to plan to drive through somewhere. That was just part of the daily plan for Tuesday.
You know, eventually, too, your kids pick up on things. Like they open the door and realize you're podcasting, and they go back out. That was awesome.
Yeah, that's pretty cool, isn't it? We do not have an on-the-air light. You remember those?
We need one of those.
I really would like to have one. But anyway. Back to.
But, you know, and then I remember another season when we decided to try community baseball. And we had three boys old enough, and because their ages, they were in three separate leagues.
There were three different teams, three separate leagues.
It was horrible.
And even in our small town, they weren't the only ones running bases. Whoever the parent was on duty was running bases too, because they were having practices at different places and games at different places all over our little town. And so
it seems like a lot of that community stuff is designed for people who have one child. I don't know how people who have more than one child do it.
I think they figure Bobby is going to play Little League and Susie is going to take dance lessons and that's that.
Maybe that's it. But
and they don't deal with what if you've got Bobby and Mark and Luke and John and Acts and Romans, and they've all got to get to their, you know, different team events all over the place. How do you manage that?
So, well, I tell you, it helped us when we got the kids involved in homeschool football league, where all the different ages, all the different teams practice on the same set of fields. So we could just, as a family, go one place instead of a bunch of different places.
That was, yes.
And so part of the act of schedule juggling is figuring out what pieces to put in your schedule to maximize your time. If you're going to have to get out with the family, how can we get the most done the most effectively? You know?
And sometimes you trade off. Sometimes you say, it's important that my son have this opportunity, even though the rest of the family has to kind of mold to fit that. And we just say, son, could be your daughter. Maybe your daughter has a particular gift that she needs special, you know, training and accommodation for, just the same. But being realistic about it, you know, the thing about time is everybody gets 168 hours a week. There's no more and there's no less. Every single person, Bill Gates gets 160, Donald Trump gets 168, the street people in Haiti get 168. So that's one of those resources that doesn't bend. And you just have to say, how am I going to divide it up? And then how am I going to use it most efficiently?
You know what, Hal? I have realized is we've got half of our kids are grown-ups now. We have four adult kids, four at home.
Yeah.
Some of those things I ran myself ragged for, some of the activities and stuff.
Yeah.
They're not even a big deal to our kids as adults. The things our kids seem to remember with the most fondness is the time we spent at home together. And, you know, so... Make sure when you're scheduling, when you're juggling what to be involved in, that you don't sacrifice the best for the good.
Yeah. That you don't sacrifice the certain for the possible.
Yeah, the family time. Because, you know, most of us are not raising an Olympic class athlete.
Most of us are not raising a college level athlete even.
I mean, right.
And that's another discussion.
But anyway, we've got to make sure that what we do fits into our family's goals and time. Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's say we've decided these are the things we want to be involved in. These are the things, both individually and corporately. And now how do we manage this? How do we figure out how to get it all done? And that's a harder thing, you know?
Well, I remember we got to a certain point and we're starting to feel like we're going to drop balls. You know, we're juggling everything and we can't keep track of it effectively. A lot of, whoa, I forgot about kind of moments.
Yeah.
And just to try it out, we tried at setting up a calendar on Google, you know, Google Calendar, and actually found that it did help, because what we did was we said, all right, this will be the official family calendar. Every appointment, every, you know, travel date, everything that has a time commitment, we're going to put on this one thing.
That really helps.
And that way I could access it. You could access it. Our older kids who had computers and now phones can access it there. And that really helps. And you know what? If you don't, maybe you don't have internet access. I don't know how you're listening to podcasts, but anyway, maybe it's not something that works well for you, but a fixed calendar on the kitchen wall.
But a fixed calendar on the kitchen wall only works if everybody makes it through that kitchen, because, you know, the problem that we were having is we've got college kids and we've got kids that are out in their careers, and yet they need to know where we are and what we're doing, because, you know, like, well, one of our kids announced a couple of weeks ago, he hadn't checked the family calendar, that he was coming home for the weekend. We're like, oh no, well, we won't be here.
We're gone.
Yeah.
So, and that was a failure to communicate, failure to receive, because it was on our calendar. But
so, well, let's talk for a second about how we handle that. First of all, Google Calendar is free.
It's free.
Okay, you just set up a Google account, click over to calendar.
Yes.
You know, we set up different categories and color-coded them. Like, each person has their own color.
Mm-hmm.
And also, we have a color for business, or we might have one for church, you know, that apply to more than just a few people.
Or just one that says family.
You know, right.
Everybody is going to be doing this weekend or whatever.
Right. But that really helped. I loved that our college kids put their schedules up there, because that lets me know when it's convenient for me to call them.
Right.
And also how to pray for them.
Yeah. And that's a good thing. In fact, I think that's what got us started, was when our first was in college and one of his professors was saying, you need to be on Google Calendar because that's the only way you'll survive being a student.
Right.
And so we created that. One feature I like about it is that you can turn categories on and off. So if the calendar is getting really full and kind of cluttered looking, you can selectively turn things on and off to say, I just want to see what the whole family is going to be committed to, or I just want to see what I have committed to.
Yeah. And well, sometimes I do that to see, you know, I turn on just our speaking. Where are we speaking next?
Yeah.
Because, you know, you do all the booking for our speaking, and sometimes I'm pretty clueless. It's kind of embarrassing how people ask me, they say, well, Melanie, where are y'all speaking next month? And I'm like, I don't know. Ask Hal.
Okay. I am the travel agent. Okay. So Google Calendar, that's a great thing. And, you know, having that central location for everything, that's really critical in a bunch of areas. One of the things that we do that's a little unusual, I think, but is really, really helpful to me, is we have family meetings.
Oh boy, do we ever have family meetings. We are famous for family meetings, Al.
Now, if you've ever read Cheaper by the Dozen, you know, the Gilbreths had family meetings where they all sat down like with coffee mugs around a table. We don't do it quite like that. We just, for us, when we have our family devotions in the morning, we finish our prayer and then we say, okay, now let's coordinate. And we just roll straight into it because everybody's here. And that allows us to say, okay, remember today we have a test date this afternoon for somebody, or you've got band practice tonight. Don't forget, I need to go take the car to get the oil changed or whatever. We just kind of coordinate what's on the schedule so that everybody has a sense in their mind of what the family is going to be doing, which direction we're going to be going. And it's appropriate too to look forward a few days to say, now, remember, we've got to be ready to go, you know, do this activity on Friday. And that means certain things have to happen by Thursday, like washing the uniforms or locating the shoes or whatever comes. So having a meeting like that. Now, one thing I did find out is you really need to have an agenda. I mean, that sounds terribly formal, but all that means,
okay,
all I mean by that.
Let's talk about that in just a second.
Oh.
Because we're about halfway through.
No, we are.
And I want to talk about schoolhouse teachers because they are good enough to sponsor our podcast. And so we need to talk about them and tell people what a great resource it is. Hal, did you know they put up 4 new classes today?
Did they? Really?
Yeah. The Art Tips with Jan Bauer, a World History class, an Introduction to Theology class, and a Reading Religious Affections class.
Okay.
And so 4 new classes put up today. And the cool thing about it.
Yes.
Is that those classes are included in your membership. You don't have to pay anything else.
Oh, there's no extra because there's more available?
Well, I was really stunned because I thought, when I first heard them talking about it, I thought, yeah, we have done online classes and they were $400 or $500 a class.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes more. I looked at class the other day, it was $825 a class.
Ow! That's tough.
And yet, Schoolhouse Teachers, it's less than $15 a month.
And that's for everybody in the family, as many classes as you want to take.
As many classes you want to take.
There's no extra charge, no incremental cost to it.
And you get all the Schoolhouse Planners free.
That's cool.
I mean, the Schoolhouse Planners alone are worth that. And you look at all the classes, it's a fantastic resource. And we appreciate SchoolhouseTeachers.com for sponsoring our podcast.
Yes, we do. So go to SchoolhouseTeachers.com. Okay, so we're talking about
family meetings.
Family meeting. Okay.
Okay.
By agenda, all I mean is know what you're going to say and try to keep the side conversations to a minimum.
Or else you will all go crazy because your meeting will take over your life.
Well, okay. You got something that you can cover in 10 minutes and everybody has to chatter and throw a wisecrack in and make fun of things and whatnot.
And pretty soon an hour's gone.
Really? And nobody's got time for that. That's the whole point, isn't it?
Yeah.
So yeah, just have a
list of what you want to talk about.
Just a couple of bullet points is really all
right. What time of day is a good time for family meetings?
Well, for us, morning time works the best because that's when we have devotions. But
although, you know what, Hal? Morning times work well only if it is a brief, here's the plan meeting. If we really need to talk some through, morning does not work well because it works up our school time.
Yeah, we're not talking about like a project meeting or something like that. We're talking about just the, here's what's on the schedule for the day. Great. Go forth and prosper. But
you know, if a family has dad working away from home, he may be leaving before they're even out of bed.
Well, I had times when I was leaving the house at, 6 in the morning.
Ugh.
And everybody else, sunrise had not occurred for them. So.
No, I'm a homeschool mom. I don't believe that anything before 7 a.m. is middle of the night. That's my theory.
So evening time can work fine. You know, you just adjust. The whole key on all of these things, I think, is to find something that works for you. There's not a single right answer, the best possible way to do it. The best way is the way that works for you.
Well, one thing that's kind of helped us is the giant whiteboard in the kitchen.
Well, yes. Okay. We've got, if you want to call it that, we have like a central message center in our house. Okay. And what that is for us is we've got a recycled office whiteboard.
Okay, now, Hal, when people say message center,
yeah,
I picture those little 8x10 whiteboards that you...
Like you put on your dorm?
Yeah, that you put on your dorm door. That won't do for a family the size of ours.
No.
We're talking 4x8.
We have a full-size one, and God just blessed us with this. Somebody remodeled their office, and this was literally in the trash, and we recovered it, cleaned it up, and it's hanging in our kitchen. But one of our friends, this is so cool. I was at one of our friends' houses and he had this beautiful, huge whiteboard in his kitchen. And I said, that's really neat. How did you do that? And he just burst out in this big grin. He said, you know what? That's just a sheet of melamine. I got that at Home Depot or at Lowe's or something like that. And he said, I just put a piece of trim at the top and a piece of trim at the bottom, like rails. And this just slides into that trim. And we just use it. It's a whiteboard. It takes dry erase markers perfectly well. You clean it up with Windex.
$25 or $30.
$25, I think it is locally. And he said, when it wears out, you just slide it out, put another one in. I thought, wow.
Well,
okay. Because, one of those big boards can cost $150, $200 or more. But $25, hey, you can't avoid it. And you don't even have to have the rails. You can just drill a couple holes and nail it.
So some of the things we put up there is we put up our chore chart, who's responsible for what. That way they can't say, I don't know what I'm supposed to do.
That's
which
right.
They try.
That's right.
And
we'll put up a schedule for the day as well as what we talk about in our meetings,
Maybe our menu.
Okay.
A Bible verse, where we're headed next if we're going on speaking trips.
Yeah, if we've got a big trip coming up, we'll put a countdown up there. Just say 5 days until we leave.
And if you've heard us speak, if you've heard us do the Raising Real Men session, One of the common questions around our house is, what are you doing to advance the family mission? It says that at the board.
Yeah. Well, we've got a motto up there to kind of keep people need to be mindful of certain things our family does.
Yeah. What are you doing to help us keep going?
So having a message center is important. And that can also be, you know, some people just put things on their refrigerator. Yeah. As a matter of fact, we were at one friend's house and they found out that their refrigerator front would take dry erase markers.
That's a little scary to me.
And so they were writing directly on the refrigerator.
Oh, that scares me.
But you can clean it off.
Yeah, okay. But what if it doesn't clean?
Well, just keep your Sharpies separate.
Yes.
Okay.
Do not let toddlers have Sharpies.
That's right. Okay, so we talked about getting a central calendar that everybody can access, having meetings to make sure everybody is up to date with what's happening, having a message center so people can refer to it during the day or any messages that need to stand up.
You know, one of the most difficult seasons, Hal, I think, mm-hmm. is when you get driving kids. Okay, it's easier in a lot of ways. When you get driving kids, they can drive all the kids to band and you can take a nap. That's awesome. You can stay home with the baby.
Yeah.
And so it's easier in a lot of ways. It's a lot more fun, but the scheduling thing gets harder because you got people who can go on their own. Mm-hmm. You may not know where they're going, or they may forget to tell you that they went to band and then stopped off at a friend's house.
Yeah.
And especially like college kids, because they are totally home, then totally gone. Then they're totally home again. Then they're totally gone again.
And their schedule off at school is pretty much opaque to us. You know, we don't know precisely when they're in class and when they're in study sessions and when they've got social events. And when do they sleep? Do they sleep? I'm not sure if they ever sleep. And so
when they get home, that's what they do when they're home.
Right. And so, well, something we found really helpful is Skype. You know, people know Skype because it's the long distance alternative, the video conferencing, video that kind of thing. But
their chat function is awesome.
It's terrific because you can open it up and you can bring in as many different people as you want to into the same chat window, so to speak.
So it's kind of like group texting.
Yeah. And it's persistent. It stays out there.
And you can search it.
And so you can go there. You can have a conversation and you can say, I changed the combination on the storage room. This is what it is. And you throw it out there in the chat window. You can go back 6 months later and search on storage room. And
hit control F. You find it. Yeah. And search a combination or storage room. Up it comes.
Oh, and guess what? It's free.
It's free.
It doesn't cost anything.
But you know what? And that has been great for staying in touch. Mm-hmm. Because a kid can message me from band and say, on Skype and say, uh-huh. Hey, Mom, do you need me to stop at the store on the way home?
Yeah.
You know, and not only am I going to see it, but you're going to see it and the other kids that are old enough to have computers. So if somebody else needs something from the store, they can chime into.
You know, one thing that our guys off at college have said, it really helped them to feel like they were still part of our daily family life.
Yeah.
Because we were chatting back and forth, you know, upstairs, downstairs from different rooms and all to say, you know, hey, I'm going heads down to finish this assignment now, or I'm on a phone call, or hey, what are we going to do for lunch? Hey, don't forget we've got an appointment. And it's just the same kind of chatter that you hear in the background if you're living in the house.
Well, it's helped us to stay involved in their lives too, because you know I think we have an exceptionally close relationship with our adult kids, mm-hmm. and I think that Skype ongoing Skype family chat is part of it, mm-hmm. because they can just share snippets of their lives as they go about their days. You know, they can say, "Pray for me, I'm walking to choir auditions," mm-hmm. or "Man, I'm sleepy. I'm having a rough day. Praying, stay awake during this class." Mm-hmm. You know, it keeps us all informed in everybody's lives in a very casual, natural way. I think it's been a huge blessing in our family.
This is good because I think it's using the modern technology to compensate for some of the cost of modern lifestyles. You know, if we're all living in the same homestead with your great granddads living in the same house with granddads living with the family, with the kids and all the rest. You know, if you got three generations there on the farm and you're all working together all day, you know what's going on in everybody's life. But when, you know, dad's working one place and mom and the kids are doing homeschooling here and you've got high schoolers taking classes and you've got people off at college, everybody's kind of going in different directions.
Right.
So anything that helps us tie ourselves back into the center.
Yes.
You know, that draws those heartstrings together through communication. I think that's a good thing. And not to be disdained.
Well, you know, one of the things that has kind of come out of that family group Skype chat is we have it's called the ongoing young family conversation.
Right.
But we also have an ongoing conversation with you and you and I both have a conversation with each of the adult kids separately.
Yeah, because so they have things
that they have a private question they want to ask or something, they can do that easily.
Yeah. And so super flexible, totally free, doesn't take a lot of bandwidth. You can put the app on your phone. And I mean, we use the text feature on our phones too for some things, but honestly, Skype is our tool of choice for that.
Well, it keeps it synced so that you can check it on your computer or on your phone or on your tablet, and the messaging is going to be there everywhere.
Now, these aren't the only tools.
No, there's lots of other tools.
There's lots of tools, and I know you Apple people have your own favorites. But anyway, those of us out here in the Windows Android world, with the rest of us.
Those of us who can't afford the Apple world.
Yep. These are tools that we have just found extremely helpful, very low cost, easy to adopt. And that's one of the things I want to really focus on here, that the tool that you can't use is not going to be useful.
Yeah, you got to find something that's useful. And I want to say too, Hal, that I hear this a lot from moms who are struggling to know how to meet everybody's needs. Because the older kids want to be involved in outside activities. They want their younger kids to have time at home. They wonder about whether they can take care of a baby in the midst of everything. And it is a juggling act. And all these tools will help.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, you know, we've got to realize I had to accept that God made my oldest child my oldest child. And he was home alone with me. Mm-hmm. And we had all that time alone. And that he made my youngest child, because that would be the right place for her to be.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, she didn't get as much time cuddling in bed with mama, but she had all these other people to love her.
Yeah.
And sometimes she had to nurse in the van. Sometimes she had to nap on my chest while we were at a football game. But that God put her at that place in our family. Mm-hmm. And that was the right place for her. And I think sometimes that when we talk about scheduling and balancing all these different balls in the air, moms are taking a lot of guilt that they don't need to take.
Mm-hmm.
Because their family life has changed as their kids get older, and they feel guilty because of it. And I just want to say, you don't have to feel guilty. Your family life has changed because this is the way God built your family.
Yeah, and I think that's so well put, that the family we have is the family that God gave us, and that was by His design, and that He brought them in the order that He did, and each of those children is a specific gift to the specific parents who are raising it.
At that time,
in that specific time. Because God could have done it any other time or not at all. And so, you know, embracing the providential care of our God.
Yes, absolutely. And that first child may have gotten a lot more time with you, but that last child has gotten time with all these other people too that love them.
The first child didn't have the benefit of older brothers and older siblings to love them or to advise them or to play with them. You know, that all of those dynamics come in there. So don't feel bad. Don't guilt yourself about it. And as you look at these kind of systems and tools, try them out. And if they work for you, great. If they don't work, adapt them or find a different one or do something otherwise altogether. But
because this is not... Okay, this is not commandment of God territory. This is not even conviction territory. This is household rules.
This is, totally.
What works for you.
Pragmatic
that's,
stuff.
That's great, baby.
Yes.
And for some families, it's going to be a strain for them to get out and go to church once a week and to do one event per month. For others, like us, I'm like, yay, I get to stay home today. I haven't stayed home I don't want to even say how long.
No. And I'm looking at our calendar for next year and
I don't want to.
Just think about house while we're
here. I love traveling. I'm going to keep telling that.
That's right.
Myself.
Yeah. You do. But you're ready for a little bit of a rest.
I'm ready for a rest right now.
Anyway.
I'll think about that in the spring.
Okay. Well, if you want us to come speak at your local event, come out to our speaker page, halandmelanie.com, and there's all the information you need to find out how you can request a date or just get information. There's no commitment to ask. And you'd be surprised how many places we go that are off the beaten path.
Yeah. I want to say, if you have been thinking about supporting this ministry, now would be a great time to start. Mm-hmm. We have had some problems this fall with one of the retailers that we have been selling books to and has not been paying us.
Yep.
And we are really struggling. And so if you would like to become a patron, go to Patreon, patreon.com/Hal and Melanie.
Yep.
And you can support us there. Even, you know, if everybody that was one of our, if one-tenth of the people who are fans on social media gave $1 a month, we'd be in good shape.
You know, if everybody that listened to this podcast would just pledge $1 a month, that would be a tremendous help.
It would be.
You know, even small things multiply and they make a big difference, you know, like the appeals for helping children in flood relief and stuff like that. And they say, just the cost of a cup of coffee. Well, you know what? We could use a cup of coffee too. So, so keep us in mind too, when you're thinking about.
Or green tea anyway.
There you go. We do appreciate you joining us and investing some of your time with us. And we hope that maybe we've given you some ideas on how you can manage your time.
Yes.
And hope that you will join us again next time as we talk about something entirely different. No, actually, it's going to be related because it's going to be about biblical family life.
Okay.
Okay, so once again, until next time, I'm Hal.
And I'm Melanie.
Thanks for listening.
Bye, y'all.
You've been listening to Making Biblical Family Life Practical with Hal and Melanie Young. If you found this program interesting, challenging, and encouraging, why not join us on the web at halandmelanie.com. That's HalandMelanie.com. Or follow us on social media. You can find us on Facebook at Facebook.com/HalandMelanie or Facebook.com/RaisingRealMen. This program is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Join us next week when we'll be back to talk about making biblical family life practical. Until then, thank you and God bless you for listening.